Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
That is Pastor Colin Maluleke, the song of the breakthrough. And 17 minutes, it is just after 2. You're listening to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng. That's how we played out from the news bulletin. And now joined by Pastor Claire Welzavane. Muruti, welcome.
Thank you so much, ma'am. How are you?
I'm blessed of the Lord. I know Muruti is going to say, I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored.
And very strong.
And very strong. I like that. I like that. Yeah, Muruti, welcome back again.
No, thank you so much.
We left the ladies hanging the other time, and we're like, no, And not just the ladies, but even I think when you came, we had the ladies the gathering. We were talking about that, so maybe my mind ran to that. Okay. But we left couples. Hanging and said, we are going to come back for you.
Yes.
Because we were talking about couples that are going through a season where you find they are living together.
Mm.
They are living together. And when they are out there in the public, ooh, you would adore them. You're like, I want that.
Yes.
But they are no longer together.
Absolutely.
Some of them don't even sleep in the same bedroom any longer. Each sleeps wherever. They are like roommates. They are like brother and sister. There's no longer that romance in that marriage.
Yes.
And the last time we were talking about some of the reasons, I don't know if Muruti would like to touch some or one or two of those reasons, and then we can move to, because we said and promised the family that we are going to come back and talk about healing in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, thank you very much. We will remember that last week, one of the most important things we touched on was the fact that this situation does not originate, or it doesn't start when people are already married. It starts before with an individual.
Mm.
That each individual look at themselves and determine or decide how ready they are to get married, because it is one's ability or inability or one's failure to connect with people or to connect with a marriage partner that causes people not to gel together in a marriage situation. And you find a situation where people are married legally, so everybody knows that they are married. However, in terms of their day-to-day living, in terms of their relationship together with one another, the relationship is non-existent. They are simply physically in the same space, but nothing between them, as married people, that would say that these people are actually a couple. They are living marriage in the true sense of the meaning of marriage. So that becomes a very serious challenge for many couples, because many couples are sitting in those situations. They are uncomfortable. They are not happy, but they're just hanging in there. Others, out of fear, as much as one does not condone divorce, but others out of a fear of what people will think about them, what people will say. And so they are staying in there. But you remember, one of the statements I mentioned last week was, if you're going to be one's husband, then you better act like their husband. If you're going to be their wife, then you better act like their wife. It doesn't really help to say, I'm your wife or I'm your husband, but your behavior says something different.
Sure. It doesn't help. It worsens the whole situation.
It worsens the whole situation.
Madam Rudy, how do you act like a husband? How do you act like a wife?
Yeah. That's a very important question. And I'll tell you how you do that.
Yeah.
You have to firstly have a relationship with one another.
Okay.
When you talk about relationship, it means you have to connect with one another.
Yeah.
How do you connect? You connect in terms of understanding each other's inner thoughts and inner feelings. You connect in terms of showing concern for one another. You connect in terms of in other words, mentally. You mm-hmm. connect morally. You connect emotionally and spiritually as well. We're talking here in terms of your beliefs yeah. and your values.
Yeah.
So that's you know where it begins, and you build a relationship. Now, for some people, sadly, that became affected because of past experiences.
Okay.
And as a result, they find themselves no longer able to connect in a relationship. In other words, they're no longer able to show that concern. They're no longer able to have a deeper understanding of the other person's thoughts and inner feelings.
Mm.
And it creates a challenge where although one is in a marriage or in a relationship, but there's no relationship because there is no connection. The pain of the past, the hurt of the past always comes up first.
Is it lack of forgiveness sometimes?
Not always. In okay. some cases it could be, but in other cases it's
too late.
Yeah, it's other things involved there as
so
well.
You've poured cold water on the hot coals that were there.
You see,
the fire was still there, was a spark and you came whoosh.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I like what you just mentioned now, because it speaks to the fact that oftentimes people don't address matters that transpire between them. So you leave matters unresolved, and leaving those matters unresolved doesn't really help, because it actually makes matters worse. Because then you harbor those feelings, you harbor those thoughts, those memories, you go with them into the new marriage, if I can put it that way. And so when you get there, you know, there are situations where I've seen this happen, where people get involved. You meet someone, and then they now anticipate the kind of behavior that was
given to them back there, where they come back. They don't see you.
Yes.
You're not there.
They expect you to behave like, you know, the way they saw things happen.
I know some years back, Muruti, you used this song, and I think over the years, I would be reminded by those words that you used some years back. A song, rose colored glasses, for they hide all the beauty. So I'm like, okay, so it means somebody's looking at you from another, like they're wearing another set of glasses.
Yes.
So the only thing they see are the wrongs.
Absolutely.
But that is somebody who's not healed, right?
That's somebody who's not healed, somebody who did not deal with whatever issues that they encountered prior to the current situation of marriage or relationship, whichever applies. Now, they have not addressed them. Some people sadly do not understand the importance of counseling and how it helps, because some people think that counseling is a situation where fingers are going to be pointed to say, yeah, you were wrong because of this, you did that and it is wrong, and then, you know, they're going to experience being judged, and so they shy away from it, when what they don't realize is that it actually helps to give you a very clearer perspective of what is really happening at that time, where you are. It paints a very clear picture of where you are and says, this is where you are, this is what is happening to you, this is how you can address.
Accurate the way it has been painted by others, that Muruti is when I brought him, talk to him.
Yes. No.
Or talk to her.
Absolutely.
I brought her.
Yeah. You know, that's actually...
So the medicine is not for us,
yeah,
but the medicine is for...
Because you get to experience that a lot, where people sometimes request counseling only to try and get the counselor to tell their partner.
No, deal with them.
Yeah, I've been trying to tell them this. They don't understand. Maybe if you say it, they will listen. And so you got to realize if you go for counseling...
It's not about that. It's about healing both parties.
Absolutely.
Because I also played a part in us getting where we're at.
Yes, it's like when you go visit a doctor, you don't get there and tell them, look, I've got the flu, ne? Mm-hmm. Now you must prescribe this and this and this, and you must do this and this. You go there and you leave it to the doctor to assess the situation.
And what if it's not the flu?
You see now.
Because your assessment might be wrong.
Might be wrong.
As well, know? Yeah.
So, you might actually wrongly assess it and then, you know. So, yeah, when you go for counseling, remember that it's not about you telling the counselor what to tell your partner.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about... the going there to listen, to be helped, to be assisted, to get a better understanding of what is really transpiring between the two of you. So now, if you're carrying issues from the past and you're bringing them all the way into the new marriage, you have your own interpretation of a relationship, of marriage. You have your own, because one of the biggest challenges is the understanding or the lack of understanding of what marriage really is.
Mm.
And as we said, it's an exclusive relationship where a man and a woman commit together in covenant relationship to grow together and to attain to oneness, to become one with one another.
Mm.
So now, once you don't understand that, you would look at marriage in different ways and ways that are not really accurate in terms of the description of what marriage really is. And then that affects your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
That affects your behavior. That affects the response from the other person. Because remember, when you behave in a certain way, the other person is going to respond. You know, so their response might also make matters worse. Your behavior might make matters worse. So that's why you find people who are married or they are together, but they're not really together.
Mm.
And in some situations, it goes to an extent where one or both of them then looks outside and looks elsewhere to say, what I'm missing in here, let me try and find it outside.
Sure. Yeah, that's it. That's really tough.
It is.
I'm missing it here, so I better go find it outside.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And these things do happen, eh?
Is there healing, though?
Yes, there is healing, you know. Definitely there is healing. Firstly, you've got to be able to recognize where things went wrong.
And be willing, right?
Yes.
Because as you said, and you were talking to us about counseling itself, sometimes I'm not even willing to hear what the counselor has got to say if it's about me.
Yes.
It has to be about them because they are the wrong ones.
Absolutely. You know,
I'm on the clear. Everything I did everything right.
Mm.
So where the counselor has to address me, then I'm not going to hear anything. So you have to be prepared. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the things I say to couples when I sit down with them is, before we begin,
okay,
be prepared to hear things coming from your partner's mouth that you may not enjoy hearing.
Okay.
Allow them to express themselves.
Okay.
Allow them to express their thoughts, their feelings, and how they see things. And sometimes it may not be so nice to hear, but allow yourself that room. And that's where we're talking about the question of, you know, be willing to hear things you may not enjoy hearing. Be willing to change. Be willing to say, I want to be helped, and as a result, I'm going to listen attentively with an intention to improve my life.
Mm. Okay, let's take our couples through a journey of healing in this space of coming back to each other in oneness.
Yes.
Marriage is about oneness.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
You know, the question of healing when there has been hurt and pain in marriage is something that cannot be treated lightly. It's a very, how shall I put it? It's a process that involves a lot.
Okay.
And it takes a lot of effort to heal a marriage that, because remember, in some situations, you're dealing with a person who came into the marriage already being hurt. Now they come into the marriage, then other things add onto that. Now the hurt is even deeper. Now you're dealing with a person who is... I'm a bit reluctant to use this term, but this is what I've observed, where people's characters and personalities have been damaged. They're emotionally damaged. They just cannot respond well to certain things like forgiveness, things like reconciliation, things like working things out. That is what Christ meant when he said, divorce happens because of the hardness of the heart. And so if the heart is still hardened, it becomes difficult to attain to healing. Now, the first thing to understand is that God has given us power over any form of pain or any form of challenge, be it physical, be it emotional, be it mental. We have the power to overcome that if we are willing to overcome.
If we are willing to face our wounds.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That is,
allow them to be opened again and cleansed.
And cleansed.
Yeah.
That is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. That there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So, firstly, you've got to psych yourself to say, I can overcome this. I can beat this. All it takes is my willingness and my determination to beat this pain. Now, in some situations, you find people who own the pain and the hurt, the emotional pain and hurt. It's like, it's my hurt, it's my pain. But
the truth of the matter is that pain is addictive.
Well, you know, yes, that is true. And the reason why it becomes addictive is because it... In the mind of the person who's going through the pain, it appears to draw attention towards
and
you.
And to even get control.
Yes.
Okay.
See, for as long as you can get people to say, you know, to sympathize with you, you can get people to want to listen to you because they're interested.
And this one to feel guilty forever.
Yes. And those kind of things then, because now they're bringing attention to you. You are enjoying this attention. But it's not coming from the right source. It's coming out of the fact that you don't want to let go of this pain. You don't want to let go of this hurt because the thinking behind it is, if I let go of this, I will lose all the attention.
Does it have a duration?
I wouldn't really say that it has a duration, but it depends on the willingness.
How much healing do I want for myself?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It depends on your willingness, and it depends on what steps one is taking to attain to that healing. If you are doing nothing about it, some people will say to you, "No, time will heal."
And time doesn't.
Time doesn't.
It's what you do.
It's what you do.
Intentionally so.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you've got to be very intentional about
it. But yet again, Muruti, you have to face the pain, right? And not allow yourself to jump the pain, because I've heard of people saying, no, it's after a person got hurt like a week ago, now next week, like, snap out of it. Or the person themselves saying, no, I've cried, it's enough. And then, because I think at some point it might build bitterness if it's not correctly addressed.
No, that is very true. That's why you'll have some people who will have a recurrence of the emotional pain and hurt, and they will say, but I thought I
moved dealt with past it.
I thought I'm healed. You were not healed. What happened is you simply
numbed the pain.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, and so as a result, you didn't really deal with it, and you didn't psych yourself properly to say, I have to face this. I have to digest it in my mind. I have to analyze and try to understand what happened here. How did I get where I am? You know, whose fault is it really? Where do I apportion the blame? Should I even blame anyone for that matter? You know, you look at all of those things, and sometimes it becomes overwhelming for one to deal with those things by themselves. Hence, you need help. You know, you need to get counseling, to be advised. Because remember, when you come to me for help, I'm thinking straight. I'm not experiencing the pain that you're experiencing. And so I'm able to have a very clear view of what is really happening. And I'm able to then bring things into perspective and help you deal with things that are urgent to deal with at that time.
Okay.
You know, and so it's very important to realize these points that you must psych yourself for healing. James 1, verse 2 to 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Patience is one of the key ingredients towards healing. You've got to psych yourself up to say, I have to be patient. I have to realize that it's going to hurt for some time. I have to realize there will be triggers from time to time that trigger my memory. I normally say to people, one of the biggest enemies of humanity, let me say, one of the things that can become an enemy of humanity is memory. The fact that you remember, you know, can work against a person, because then memory means you may not be able or willing to let go of things that have happened. That's why the Bible says, do not remember former things. And Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, what is in the past,
And
focusing on that which is ahead, which is something very challenging for many people to do. When there are triggers all around you, everything reminds you of where you come from, where you've been. I mean, you know, you walk around there, you see a couple holding hands, and it like brings those memories. This is some of the things I used to do with my partner. The memory then kicks in, and it makes the pain worse, and you find it difficult to deal with it, to actually face it and say, I have to address these issues.
So be intentional.
Be intentional about it. And then depend on God all the way. This is a very, very important point that most of us Christians sometimes neglect and overlook, to depend on God. We think we can depend on people around us. We can lean on our friends. We can lean. The challenge is this. If I am close to you and I experience pain, or let me say you experience pain and hurt, and you come to me for comfort and consolation, clearly, I'm going to want to take your side. And I'm not, in some of the instances, I'm not going to be of much help to you, because I'll be sympathizing with how you feel. And I'm not going to look at things for what they really are, because the aim at that point is to say, I want to be nice to this person. I want to be supportive of this person. I want to show kindness towards this person. It can blur the vision sometimes, and you don't see things clearly.
Right.
So it becomes important to learn that only God can really heal, you know. And so you depend on God. And the reason why I emphasize this and say it's important is because sometimes when people go through pain like this, they stop praying. This is very practical. They stop praying. They stop reading the Bible. Some even stop going to church. And so in doing so, the devil is able to isolate you. And you find yourself dying spiritually. You find yourself dying mentally and even emotionally. And then what happens is you start to depend on people around you. Others actually depend on social media. I had a case very recently of a couple who were fighting like bitterly so, simply because the one partner hears things from social media and
brings them home
and their imagination says to them, this is what my partner is doing. And so they're fighting over that. And so now, you see, you have to really depend on God. If you look at Matthew 5, he says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, now this is a person who is depending on God. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. In Psalm 42, verse number 2, he says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" So this person knows, if you read also Psalm 23, I think it's verse 3, where David says, "The Lord restores my soul."
Mm.
So now, when you talk about the word soul,
mm-hmm.
nefesh in the Hebrew, suchei in the Greek, it actually is, it means the seat of the emotions, the feelings, the desires, the appetites, the will, the intellect. All of those things form part of the soul, and they are in the heart, in the spirit. And so when David says God restores my soul, it means he restores my mind, he restores my emotions, he restores my thoughts, he restores my desires, he restores my appetites, he restores my feelings. All of those things. Because remember, when you get hurt, it can sometimes generate feelings, passions, desires of wanting to see the other person, things going not well for them, see them going down, anger, you begin to wish evil on other people and all of that. For some people, they may become suicidal, and so they start thinking more about death and dying, and those are the kind of things that happen in the soul, which when you come before God, you present yourself to God, he then restores. In other words, he heals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's take a break, Muruti, and then come back. I'm not sure if we are finishing today. But we are taking it one step at a time.
One step at a time.
All right.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM. 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up. A time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
Heart to Heart. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo kwabo banhliziyo zidakumbileyo. Simamele kwi app okanye utyelele uradiopulpit.co.za.
That's where you're at. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And we almost just about to say goodbye to you. Gave you the sounds of Victor Thompson this year. I hope that you were enjoying those ones. And we, together with Pastor Letwell Zabane, are talking about on the topic. They are still together, but no longer together. And we are on part two. And today we are taking it one step at a time towards our healing at the end of it all. Now, Muruti, you said where there was pain, then one needs to be intentional and open about it.
Yes.
Who's supposed to be open? The one who caused pain?
The one who experienced the pain,
okay,
is the one who must take the initiative.
Mm.
Now, this is where people go wrong. And I really passionately pray that people hear this. When something happens between a couple, and one of them gets hurt, one of them is the perpetrator, we'll use that term. When they try to, or when they attempt to get healing, or they focus on trying to fix the relationship or the marriage, that's where people go wrong. Because remember, when things go wrong between you and I, there's nothing wrong with the relationship, but there are things that are wrong about me.
Okay.
There are things that are wrong about you.
Mm.
So I have to say, before anything else, I have to be like David in Psalm 51, after he sinned with Bathsheba. When he goes to God, he says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit." Now, why did he say that? is because he understood that the reason he did what he did was because his heart was not clean and his spirit was not right. Now, offering an apology doesn't fix anything, right? It simply like covers the whole thing. It's like covering a wound, you know? But
so should I say the reasons why I'm apologizing?
You should say the reasons why you're apologizing, but my point is you should first work on yourself.
Okay.
Recognize how did I get to do this? Okay. How did I get to do the wrong that I did?
Okay.
And work on yourself and present yourself to God in prayer and say, create in me a clean heart. Because as long as your heart is not clean, chances of a repetition are high. You'll keep going back and then apologize and keep going. That's why there are couples who can tell you, you know what, my partner's apology has lost
me. I've heard it over and over.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
Please don't say you are sorry again.
Yeah.
You know, because you're saying you are sorry, but you are still the same person. You haven't changed. You haven't dealt with what led you to that. And so instead of addressing the relationship, we need to begin by addressing me. And you address you. And once we have addressed ourselves in that way, then we can come back and say, now, let's talk about how we relate and the things that cost us, you know, that derailed or broke up our relationship. I realized that I was doing 1, 2, 3. I realized that this was not right about me. And I'm working on that and I'm dealing with that. And so that's why then also I will keep emphasizing that counseling helps a lot in that, because then that's where you can be pointed back to say, no, the reason why you're doing this is because this is what's happening emotionally to you. This is what's happening to you mentally. Your memories, you have to deal with your memories, things that you remember and are holding to in your mind. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3. He says, I do not say I'm perfect, but this one thing I do. I like it. There's a version that says, I bring all my energies to bear down on this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things. So you have to deal with your memory. You have to deal with...
Allow the Lord to heal that.
Allow the Lord to heal that.
Yeah.
That's part of having your soul restored. And this is where sometimes we treat these things lightly. And we don't really see the significance of dealing with such matters and addressing the soul properly.
Sure. Maruti, we don't have time any longer. It's time up, but I understand that you're talking to somebody. I didn't want to read the message that came through, but I believe it was also meant for that, where we're talking also about infidelity and the person says, I find it very hard to forgive. I'm struggling in that.
Yeah.
So it starts there.
It starts there, and it starts with an understanding of what forgiveness is. And forgiveness is a process.
Yeah.
It's not a once-off event.
All right. Maruti, let's close it for today.
Yeah.
I know you didn't share all the notes, I can see, but you needed to build this.
No, absolutely.
You had to start here.
Yes.
Okay, Muruti, can you lead us in prayer where we're praying for family members around us who find themselves in the spaces? But before we do that, Muruti, how do we get hold of you?
Yeah, the number to call me on is 071-148-4938. That's 071-148-4938. Otherwise, you can send me an email at gladwellzabani@gmail.com. At gmail.com. And on Facebook, you can just look for Gladwell Zabani and we can connect.
Alrighty then. Muruti, can you lead us in prayer?
Let us do so. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are so gracious, you are so merciful, you are so kind. We thank you. We are so grateful to you that you are our Father. You are our God. We can cry to you, Abba, Father. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Lord, because as you promised in your word, you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. We experience so many things, so many pain and hurt. Father, so much pain and hurt. There are many of our brethren out there, Lord, who are going through pain, who are going through hurt, disappointments, and things of that nature, who really need you, Lord, in their lives. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice needing your intervention. I'm asking you to intervene in their lives, Father, to heal and to restore their soul in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, help us to realize that it is not the marriage that needs healing, but it is the individuals in the marriage that need healing. In Jesus' name, I pray and thank you, because I know that you are faithful, and we thank you that you respond to our requests. In the name of Jesus, amen.
And amen. Thank you so much, Muruti. May God awesomely bless you.
Thank you so much.
You have to come and finish it.
No, absolutely.
Hey, yeah. Mudimu Artuse.
Yes.
Yeah. May healing start in many families, and may we have testimonies of those who say, I heard this and I took it upon myself to be intentional.
Absolutely.
Look at God. Look at where we at.
Yes.
Yeah, Muruti, may he keep keeping you. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much. I pray the same for you and the family.
Thank you, sir. And family, we are signing out. You and I are meeting tomorrow, same time at 12 o'clock up until 3, right here on the airwaves of 657 AM on DSTV Audio Channel 882, Open View 607 on radiopulpit.co.za. Do enjoy the rest of our shows, and we say hello to Germany. Johan Else next. Leaving you with the sounds of Tony McLachlan, Stand.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM. 657 AM. The sounds of your life.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.